1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 2 and verse 5. And the scripture says, "For there is one God," everybody said one God, "and one mediator," everybody said one mediator, "between God," everybody said God, "and men," everybody said men. So there's only one God, and there's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to do a little bit of doctrinal teaching here tonight, and I probably won't be jumping up and down and running around the church. If I am, you follow me and help me, because we're having a move of God. Amen. Well, you can be seated tonight. Let's get into the Word. When we think of God, we think of things that are really too high to understand. When we think of God, we go to Genesis chapter 1, and we can look at the creation, the beginning of all things, the generations of all living things, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. And when you look at nature and you look at God's creation, it naturally will tell you that God is very powerful, God is very big, God is very able to do anything. If He can create all of these things, then there is a tremendous amount of power, a tremendous amount of wisdom and understanding, and all of the wisdom and the understanding about God, if we can even fathom or get a very, very small percentage of that. But when we understand that He created all things and that He is who He is, then we understand that it is so much higher than us. Praise God. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, as the heavens are above the earth. Millions and millions of light years away, billions of light years away, and that's how much higher God's thoughts are than our thoughts. Amen. You can't really comprehend it when you think about it. The glory of God is revealed in creation. Creation is not God, but it is a revelation of God's ability and God's power and God's love. Amen. And so God created man. We know He created everything, and then He created man, which I believe is the crowning glory of His creation. Amen. And here we are tonight. But there was something that happened, and I know for many of you tonight this is very elementary, but there was sin that entered into the garden. Adam and Eve had a perfect situation. And can I just say tonight that it is not going to be a perfect situation that's going to bring you into heaven or make you live for God or open the door so that you can live for God. There's no perfect situation, and there was no perfect situation in the garden. Amen. They had the best that they could have because God gave it to them. But right in the big middle of that garden, that beautiful place, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's been here ever since. It is still here today. And I believe that it is found in the internet. And that's why there are so many that are going to the knowledge of evil instead of good, because good requires discipline. Evil does not require any discipline. Amen. Amen. And we're living in that generation, in that time, when folks are not interested in discipline, they're not interested in commitment, they're not interested in those kinds of things that are long-term blessings and things that are of great value. But we want it when we want it, and we want it right now, and we don't want to have to wait for it, so we'll take from somebody else to get what we want, or we'll lie and steal and cheat, but that's not God's plan. So right here in the big middle of the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it wasn't just a tree that was standing there. And this is something that we can really get a hold of here tonight. It wasn't just a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but there was a serpent that was tempting man to partake of that tree. And where we have this tree of the knowledge of good and evil today, we understand that there are many, many things on the internet, many, many things in these different groups that are on the internet that are very, very wicked and very, very evil, and they promote things that Christians shouldn't really even be looking at.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. And so before they ate of the fruit of the tree, they had a close communication with God. They did not have to have a mediator. And I'm sure everybody know what a mediator is?
Amen.
A mediator is a go-between. It is someone that mediates between one individual and another, one government and another government. And that's what a mediator is. But in the garden, they didn't have to have a mediator because there was no sin in the garden. There was nothing but a close communication with God, a very close thing every day. The Lord would come walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the morning, and he would have a conversation with Adam. I can only imagine. I think it was probably a face-to-face encounter like Moses did when God spoke to him like a man would speak to another man. And it was a very, very close relationship. But you can see that when they ate of the fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of a sudden they saw themselves as they really were, and they didn't like what they saw. They were embarrassed. They wanted to cover up things that was in their life. And isn't that the way it is with us today?
Amen.
Amen. We'll try to cover up some things in our lives. I remember my pastor talking about going to the grocery store, and their oldest boy, Denver Lee, he's passed away. He was just a little guy. And you know the way they do it in the stores, they put all the candy bars down low. Have you ever wondered why they do that? It's because it's eye level to those that are about that tall. Amen. And they say, "I want it." How many of you have ever seen them throw a fit on the floor and scream and holler? Yeah, Chris has. Probably many times. Amen. And some of them will give in and others won't give in. And I don't think you ought to give in, but that's your choice. All right. And he took a candy bar, and they were getting ready to leave. They were walking to go out, and he turned backwards facing his parents and was walking backwards with his hands behind his back. And they said, "Son, what do you have?" "Oh, nothing. I don't have anything." "Well, why are you walking backwards? Turn around and let me see what's behind you." And he turned around, and there was a little candy bar in his little hand, and they made him go back and give it back. And nobody had to teach him how to do that simply because of what took place in the garden. The Bible says that sin entered into the world by one man, and when sin entered into the world, then death came into the world. And there was a break in the communication with God and men. And the simple fact of the matter is that we can't communicate with God when we have sin. Sin always separates us from the presence of the Lord. Somebody said amen. It always does. And so... of course, we know he cast them out of the garden, set a flaming cherubim at the gate of the garden so they couldn't come back in. and eat of the tree of life and live in a fallen state for all of eternity. It was an impossibility. God was not going to allow that to happen because it would have been a horrible, horrible situation. And so from that point on until today, there was the need for a mediator. Amen. Amen. There was a need for someone to stand in the gap and bring the two that are separated together, and so they can have a communication with each other again. And that's the story of the Word of God, of the Bible, from Genesis, I say from Genesis to maps. That's what's in the Word of God. Amen. It's the book of Jesus. It's the book of mediation between God and men, the struggle of men with sin, amen, and a loving God who has desire to pull us from that sin. Amen. And so Exodus 19 and verse 11, turn there with me tonight. Praise God. Excuse me. Exodus 19 and verse 11, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Amen. And so the Lord gave us a sign here. Somebody said amen. He gave them a sign. He said, "Come, I will come down upon the mount and I will do it in the sight of the people." And so what happened was in Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 and 19, if you go a little bit further here, it says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And so here we have the need in the Old Testament church for a mediator. Moses is really considered in most places of learning of the Bible that he was a type of Christ, that he was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. He was the deliverer that came to deliver the people who had been in bondage for so very long. And when they saw the power of God, they said, we can't stand in front of him. He's too holy, he's too powerful. And we know that the Lord speaks to you. We know, if I could say it this way, that thou art a man come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And no miracle that Moses ever did he do by himself, but it was the power of God and the Word of God that led him to those different miracles that he performed in the sight of Israel. Amen. And so there was a mediator. They only wanted to speak with Moses, but when they spoke with Moses and Moses spoke with God, it was in a sense of the word that they were speaking to God. They were speaking to God through Moses, and they did not want to do it themselves because of the fear and all of that. And so the Lord brought them out by Moses, and the Lord brought us out here tonight by the great mediator, Jesus Christ. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, and this is still in the Torah. You have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Old Testament, called the Pentateuch or the Torah, and very, very highly regarded by the Jews as tremendous books in the entirety of the Word of God. But it wasn't God's plan to use a man that was born of woman and of man, to be a continual mediator between himself and fallen humanity. And so he prophesied here, and verse 15 of Deuteronomy 18, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not." And so he said it's going to be the same, but it's going to be different in that day. The Lord is going to raise up a prophet, and Jesus certainly was a prophet, but much more than a prophet. And he would come and be a mediator between God and men. And the Lord said unto me, "They have well spoken. That which they have spoken, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." And so there was authority. There was power. Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." It was endowed upon him by his Father when he was baptized, and his Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." We must hear the words of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Because he is the only mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Exodus 34 and verse 29. Turn there with me tonight. Exodus 34 and verse 29. Here is a beautiful picture of the great mediator, Jesus Christ. And again, it's in the life of Moses. Verse 29, "It came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not or did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." Amen. And so, when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments back to Israel, I've often wondered when he saw them dancing and sinning, and they built a golden calf and all of that, I wondered in their rebellion, why did they listen to Moses? Why did they grind up that golden calf and mix it with water and drink it? Why did they come to Moses? Not all of them did, but some did. Many of them did. And I believe it was because his face was shining so brightly that they said he has been in the presence of God. There's no doubt, there's no question mark in our mind as to who this man Moses is and whether or not he is called of God. And the skin of his face was shining that they had to put a veil over him. But if you'll go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18, and I'll let you have a moment here to get there. Hebrews 12 and verse 18. It talks about our New Testament salvation that is a reality of the foreshadowing of the Old Testament Mount Sinai. "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now, what Paul was writing here in Hebrews chapter 12, which is right after Hebrews chapter 11. I know that's really deep, but Hebrews chapter 11 is the book of faith. And so we go from 11 to 12, and when we go to chapter 12, he said, you are not come to that Old Testament experience of a mountain that's burning with fire. You're not come to that place where there is exceeding fear and all of that. He said, but, and I'm going to continue to read a little bit here, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, praise God. That's why I love coming to the house of God, because there's angels that show up when we come. An innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And what a great place it is. But he didn't stop there. And he said, unto Jesus, everybody said, Jesus the mediator.
Jesus, the mediator.
We have come unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And so where we are tonight, folks, is a wonderful place. I know that we're a little bit skimpy on attendance here tonight, but that'll all change as time goes on. Praise God. But where we have come is not to a building, but we have come to the general assembly. Amen. That's why the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, because we have an opportunity tonight, and if we could see in the realm of the Spirit, we would have probably different church services. Amen. But God did not intend for it to be that way, and I think because we would get so used to angels and get so used to all of that, that it would become common and ordinary. But what we have to do is look through the eye of faith and see what is really going on. It's very, very important that we be faithful to the house of God. Amen. Amen. We're not going to circle a mountain that's burning with fire, and we don't see a man that we have to put a veil over his face, but what we see is Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Praise God. He is the go-between between you and the Lord, between me and the Lord. He's the mediator of the new covenant. He is the mediator of the sprinkling of blood. Amen. There had to be the sprinkling of blood. The animals in the Old Testament that were sacrificed in a very real sense of the word, became a mediator between God and men. And when they sacrificed that sacrificial lamb on Passover day, that innocent lamb that had done nothing wrong died, and its blood was sprinkled, its blood was shed, and taken into the holy place. And so that lamb literally became a mediator between the men and the women of Israel and of God Almighty. But the Bible says that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to cleanse us from our sins. We needed a mediator that was part man and part God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We needed a mediator that was man and was God at the same time. Praise the Lord. And that's why the Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, and we'll see the fulfillment of this. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Praise God. He literally was the mediator between God and men. And just as Moses' face shone in the Old Testament, this New Testament mediator was not shining because God had shined upon him and he had a radiation of light coming back off of him. But this mediator, the light was inside of him and it was coming out of him. Praise God. And there's a big difference there. You know, they used to have Sunday school over here for the young people. And my son would teach Sunday school over there for a while at least. And he wanted to put stars on the ceiling. And he found some of that stuff that when you shine light on it after a while and then you turn the light off, it'll glow. I'm sure you've seen that. And so if you take the tiles off of that room that we installed, you're going to find stars up there on the ceiling because they're still there. And when our countenance shines, or even if we go back to Moses, when Moses' countenance was shining, it was because there was a light that came to him from the exterior, and his flesh radiated that light, and it was so bright that they had to cover his face with a veil. But when Jesus came and he was transfigured before them, it was as though he had a spiritual zipper and he unzipped his flesh and opened it up, and the light of God came out of him to prove that he was the fulfillment of the Moses of the Old Testament. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Amen. And so he was, and he is the mediator between God and men. And for those of you that already know that, it just can be a reminder tonight that when you have a need and you want the Lord to help you, you need to go to Jesus. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. If we'll learn how to speak the name of Jesus and have faith in his name, we find forgiveness of sins or the remission or washing away of sins in baptism. Matthew 28:19, baptize in the name. Everybody said the name. In the name of the Father, that's Jesus. In the name of the Son, that's Jesus. In the name of the Holy Ghost, that's Jesus. Are you all with me here tonight? Amen. John 3:5, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And so in a very, very real sense of the word, if we don't take on the name of Jesus Christ in baptism, then we don't have a mediator. Amen. But the mediator is, he comes to us when we call upon his name. That's why the Bible says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you could actually translate that word called to the word invoke. Amen. And we call upon the name of Jesus in baptism. We invoke his name in obedience. Some say that baptism means nothing, but they don't understand the word of God. It's not a work of man. It is a obedience to the commandment of God. Amen. Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so the reason that he is the mediator is because he is God and he is man. 2 Corinthians 5:19. I finally made it there. Turn with me tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God, everybody said God, was in Christ. Go ahead and say that. God was in Christ. God was in Christ. Not only was he in Christ, but God was Christ's Father. Father. The word father there in the Gospels, it actually means parent. It's the Greek word pater, and it means parent. And so the parent, the father of Jesus Christ, the one who conceived in his mother Mary, was God. It was God. And so God birthed a son, if you please, and then he stepped into that body. Amen. He stepped into his son, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God. Now that really adds to it, because it was not just the fact that Jesus was and is a mediator, but it was that God himself came and became the mediator between you and I. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We need to fall in love with this truth. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. Does anybody know where that's at in the Bible? John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 15 says that the Word became flesh. God became flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. God was seen in the body of a man. That's why he could speak to the winds and the waves that we talked about, and they would obey him. But at the same time, he could be sleeping in the ship. God does not need to fall asleep. Amen. Amen. That's why he could say, I am the resurrection and the life, and at the same time die on the cross of Calvary. Because he was a man, but he was God at the same time. Praise God. And in one place, and I'm going to finish with this here tonight, John 6 and 68, but prior to verse 68, there was some things that Jesus said that turned them off. And there's going to be times when people feel that way. But he turned to his disciples, and if that ever happens, if it ever happens around you with others, just remember, amen, you're not following the crowd, you're following Jesus Christ. And the scripture says that they turned back and they followed him no more. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, are you going to go as well? Amen. There's going to be opportunities to walk away. But I want you to know, we've got to have the same answer that Peter had. He said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight.